What's up, everyone? It's Noah Daniels, and we're here for another episode of the Real Hauntings Podcast.
Hey, y'all, and I'm JJ.
Hey, y'all, and I'm Kat.
JJ, that's not Kat. That's you.
She does that to me every time I can't make it to a recording. So had to throw that in there.
You really got her, too. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it. I know her voice pretty well, so.
Yep. So in this episode, Kat is not on with us, but she will be back soon. We can promise that. However, we do have an awesome guest. A fan reached out to us from Australia. Sarah, thank you so much for joining the podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, absolutely. And what time is it where you are, Sarah? I'm going to ask the old American, like, whoa, time zones are different question.
Yeah, well, after a bit of confusion when you were telling me your time zone, I finally figured it out. So it's 9:35 in the morning here.
Okay.
Oh, wow. You're almost a full half day behind us or ahead of us. I guess ahead of us.
Ahead. Yeah.
It's like, okay. So it is the 23rd of June where you are.
Yes, that's correct.
Oh, that's so weird. And cool. It's like you time traveled, but it's still the same day.
And then for our listeners, it's like they time traveled too, because this isn't coming out on the 23rd or the
22nd. So Sarah, you have listened to the podcast before. How did you kind of find our podcast?
Just randomly. I was looking for, I guess, like spooky kind of podcast to listen to. And then I came across yours and I just thought I'll listen to an episode and kind of gauge whether it's up my alley or not, and then I was just pretty much hooked and went back and pretty much listened to every single episode.
Wow. Well, thank you so much. Have you heard, and feel free to say no, but have you listened to the Scrooge episodes, the Christmas episodes?
I don't think I listened to that one.
Okay,
that's a good one to miss.
It is not. It's so good. It's an improvised episode we do every Christmas where JJ plays Scrooge. I would just highly recommend it if you're looking for something off the beaten path of your normal Real Hauntings episode.
It is not spooky. It is. I apologize to all of our normal fans who are like, I'm here for scary ghost stories, and then they end up listening to me pretend to be some weird version of Scrooge. But
well, as a fan of JJ's, I think it's excellent. I highly recommend it. All right. Well, we're excited to have you on. We always love getting people on from other countries. That's a really fun thing for us. I think, JJ, I think you probably feel the same way. We were really surprised when we started this podcast and started to see numbers grow in Australia and the UK and Canada and really kind of all over the place. Do you feel like in Australia, people are more likely to believe in the supernatural than, say, in the States?
I don't know. I can only really talk from my own experience, but I know that there, you know, we've got quite a few places in Australia that claim to be extremely haunted. And I know that there is quite a big following of people that are into the supernatural. So I don't know whether it is as big as it is in the States, but I know that it's definitely, you know, something that people are into over here.
When I think about it, it's like, yes, people are into it in the US, but it's almost like in a backhanded way. I mean, like, we're skeptics and we want to believe and we have a lot of fun with the medium. But for example, like the home I grew up in, if I brought up ghosts, they would treat me like I was crazy. You know, like, what's the attitude towards the supernatural in Australia? Are people like willing to talk about it and kind of experience it? Or is it just like, that's hogwash?
And I think it's kind of a bit of both. Like, in my family, it was something that, you know, was open for conversation. I know that in quite a few of my friends' families, it's something that's often brought up at, you know, over a few drinks or, you know, when we're in a group setting. But I wouldn't say it's something that, you know, is completely disregarded. I think people are always kind of open, like people are unsure because of the unknown.
Yeah, for sure. JJ, what was your household like? I know you grew up in a fairly religious household, right?
No, not at all.
Oh, you just went. Okay, your household wasn't religious, but you became very religious.
I was like the churchiest person in my house.
Oh, okay. All right.
And now I'm an atheist, so it didn't work out for me. But my house was like, I don't know. It was, we never talked about ghosts. I think it was just kind of assumed that none of us believed in ghosts. I don't know. It's for me, it feels like in the US, it's a very regional thing. Like when I grew up in Kansas, and I just think being around like a bunch of like very like practical, like salt of the earth kind of farm people, it's like, they don't have time for ghosts, right? But then like you go to the South and everyone and their cousin has like some kind of weird ghost story. And like, look at you weird if you don't believe in ghosts. That's my experience. I know you grew up in the South, so maybe you disagree with that. But I was shocked when I moved here about like how many people believed in ghosts.
Yeah, I would say it. There are certainly a lot of people that claim to have experiences in the South, but there was like this dichotomy of very religious people who would kind of poo-poo the idea of ghosts because they felt like maybe in some way it related to the devil or in some way it threatened the religious beliefs. But yeah, I don't know. But definitely it's pretty prominent in the South. I mean, we found that on our podcast when we started. I think that's how we had such a easy time booking it in the beginning because everybody we knew seemed to have a ghost story.
Right, because we not only live in the South, but we also know a bunch of theater people. And of course, theater people all have ghost stories because every theater in the world is apparently haunted.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Sarah, as you know, we like to kind of find out where our guests fall in the believe-o-meter. You know, if they believe in ghosts, they don't believe in ghosts. Zero, meaning ghosts aren't real at all. And 10, ghosts are absolutely real. Where do you fall on that scale?
That's kind of a hard one. I feel like my number kind of changes as I've experienced things. And I think that I'm kind of like, I definitely believe that there's something out there, but I think I'm probably maybe around an 8, like a leveled 8, could be more depending, you know, kind of what happens, but I'm always questioning.
And have you always been in that kind of range of 8, or was there a specific instance that pushed you over the threshold into like, okay, ghosts might be real?
I think when I've had some of the experiences that I've had, I've definitely been like, I'm a hard 10, I'm 11, 12, it's definitely there. And then, you know, later when you've gone back and thought about it, I've thought, yeah, maybe I'm, you know, maybe that wasn't quite how I saw it. But then I think I've always kind of sat about an 8. I do believe I've had too many experiences for things not to be not as they seem.
Yeah, I think that's the way it works for a lot of us. I mean, I know with the experiences I've had in the moment, they were absolutely real. But as more time passes and the experiences become less frequent, I tend to just go, there must be some kind of reasonable explanation for that. And JJ, I'm curious, you know, it was, gosh, maybe 5 months ago when you and Kat heard that noise in the room.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. And I feel like I totally relate to what you just said. Like that night, I was like 80%, there's a ghost. There's like a real ghost in here. And now that it's been a while and, you know, that was really, you know, I mean, we have all these like weird sounds that we pick up on our audio recording, but I can always like just shrug that off and be like, yeah, it was a weird audio thing.
I think like when you're in the midst of it, it's easy to think that you're like your imagination's maybe playing tricks on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, sure. And I think part of it too is just maybe for like mental health survival, since it's not happening over and over, like some of our guests come on and it's almost a daily thing for them. So of course they're a 10 on the scale. But those of us that have only had 1, 2, or 3 experiences, I think it's completely normal for our brains to just kind of be like, nah, you're normal. That's not real. You know, there must have been a giant squirrel that made a lady whisper under the couch or, you know, whatever it was.
It's always that.
Always the always. Giant squirrel. Well, Sarah, why don't you walk us back and explain to us about your first supernatural experience?
Okay, well, I guess the first one for me that I wanted to talk about specifically with you guys was, I guess, a bit about my past history. So I served in the military for 12 years, and it's quite a common thing. I served in the Navy. It's quite a common thing with Navy ships that, you know, there's a lot of stories that go around, and You know, people always seem to think that ships are haunted, you know, because they're old, or, you know, they might have come from another country or something like that. So there's a lot of tales that go on. So it's very easy to get suckered into, I guess, believing that, you know, when you're posted to a ship that there's something going on that's definitely not going on. But I was posted to a ship back in 2005 and 2006, and there was definitely a lot of scary occurrences that used to go on that were not just felt by myself, but by multiple other people as well. So that was pretty scary. I guess to set the scene, the ship that I was posted to back in 2004, it actually went over to the Persian Gulf and was in active service in the Middle East. And while the ship was over there, they were, I guess, kind of in company with some US ships and some other country ships. And there was a horrible accident resulting in one of the American ships, USS Firebolt, getting, I guess, suicide bombed. And sadly, that resulted in, you know, three people losing their life and multiple people gaining severe injuries. And my ship happened to be there, and we did a lot of the damage control, and we actually ended up, I guess, housing those fatalities and those seriously injured people on board our ship for quite a while until they could be airlifted to, like, medevac to a hospital. So the ship then came back to Australia, and I posted on to the ship the following year. And there was always just this really, really eerie feeling on board the ship. It was just a really eerie feeling that you were not alone, just a really eerie feeling that you were often being followed. And it was always mainly felt in one specific area, which was the area where we happened to be accommodated, like all the girls where we were sleeping. And the place that I worked was the next level above. And I remember going to work, and I would get up in the middle of the night, and I would either be calling ahead trying to get someone to turn the lights on to come down and get me so I wouldn't have to walk through there on my own, or I would just bolt so fast through this one specific area because the feeling was just so scary. And I happened to mention it to, you know, someone on the ship that had been working on the ship when this whole accident over in the Gulf had taken place. And I don't know whether it's true or whether she was, you know, maybe just kind of mentioning it to kind of add to the fact that I was scared, but the area that I was passing through, she said that that was actually the area where they had housed the fatality, like the bodies, until they were airlifted off the ship.
So you knew all that going into the ship, right? It wasn't that you felt all this stuff happen and then somebody told you about it. Is that right?
No. So I posted onto the ship, and I had no idea that any of this had happened. I was brand new to the Navy. It was the first time I'd ever been posted to a ship. I got on and I was completely fresh, you know, and excited to be there. And yeah, I just had this feeling. I didn't really want to mention it to anyone because I felt really, I thought maybe you're just being silly, like maybe because it's a big scary ship and, you know, a lot of the time we're moving around inside in darkness, like maybe it's just your imagination. But when I started to mention it to other people, they started to mention the same thing. But then a few months ahead of that, of when I first posted on, they actually did a memorial for the USS Firebolt and what had taken place. And that became like a thing that happens every year on that ship. So that's how I then found out the story about what had actually taken place a couple of years beforehand.
And did you ever hear like footsteps or see any creepy things that might have given to the boat being haunted?
Yeah. So, definitely footsteps. I know that quite a number of girls in the opposite cabin to us would often say that they would think that they would hear people calling out their name or tapping on the side of their bed, and they'd open their curtain and have a look and there'd be no one there. And so I didn't experience that, but that was a common discussion between the two girls' cabins. And I know that up in my area where I worked, there was a toilet and it was right over the other side of the, like, the space. And I remember that I would never go there because I went to use that bathroom one time and I thought that there was someone standing outside of the bathroom. I heard footsteps come up and stop. And I was like, oh, just be a minute, just finish up. And then when I came out, there was no one there.
Wow. So this is a little off the beaten path, but we all know that toilets in Australia flush counterclockwise and our toilets flush clockwise. Does a boat from Australia's toilet flush counterclockwise, but when it moves out of Australia, does it flush clockwise or is it always counterclockwise?
That's a good question. And I hate to to be the bearer of bad news, but they actually just flush straight down. Oh. It's like it has like a suction.
I just want our listeners to know that I was rolling my eyes very vividly. So I just don't want to be implicated with Noah's toilet questions after this serious, serious story.
Hey, look, you know, toilet humor.
Yeah, and I guess probably about 2 or 3 days ago, I sent a message out to one of my friends and we've been friends for probably 15 years now. And she was actually posted to that ship the same time as me. And I messaged Zoe and I said to her, like, I'm going on this podcast. This is basically like one of the things that I wanted to talk about. And I was like, do you remember any weird things that happened on that ship when we were both there? Because I know that we've talked about it before, but I need to know that I'm not crazy, that I haven't just imagined all of this. And anyway, she responded back and she said that it was definitely not me, that she remembers. So she worked in engineering and she told me that she remembers being on duty on her own and kind of transiting between the engine rooms and hearing footsteps behind her. And she would lock doors behind her and then she'd be walking and she would hear them open and she'd turn around, but the doors wouldn't be open. And she also said that it was very common to have your handheld radio that you would talk to, like, the engine room, like the communications, and to hear like whispering and people talking over it, even though no one was using it.
Wow. What did the people in, what do you call the head people in the Navy on a ship, the colonel?
Like the command staff.
Yeah, did they acknowledge that the boat might be haunted or did they just not really talk about it?
I think it was something that was mainly talked about between the junior sailors, and it was definitely something that was spoken about between all the females. I don't think that we really spoke too much about it with a lot of the males, but I know it was definitely a big topic between the females.
JJ, what do you think? Do you think, I know Kat usually would, I feel like this is the point where Kat would bring up residual energy left over and that kind of stuff. What are your thoughts on the ghost ship?
I don't know. I mean, that's super spooky. Obviously I have not, you know, I'm from a landlocked state in the U.S. I've not spent a lot of time on ships, especially compared to someone in the Navy. So, but I would think, like, you probably hear a lot of strange noises out at sea, or maybe you hear very few noises out at sea. I don't know.
The ship makes a lot of noise. Like, it's very, like, it's, the ship does make a lot of noise, but you can definitely specify between what is, I guess, like mechanical or like, you know, the normal ship creaking or stuff like that, to what is made by potentially like another person, if that makes sense.
So the noises you were hearing, you were like pretty confident that like that was not just a mechanical noise.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
And Sarah, did your ship or that ship, did you all see combat too, or was it a pretty peaceful time in the Navy?
Thankfully, on that posting, I didn't see combat. We just had a lot of fun kind of trips overseas to different countries, which was great. But I did see, I did go over and served in the Middle East over in Afghanistan in 2012 and 2013.
Oh, wow.
And what is the experience for the Navy in Afghanistan? How does that work?
So I did a bit of an out of category posting. So I actually posted over there with an army contingent and worked there. So I was one of, I think, three Navy people that went on that deployment. So it was a bit out there.
I know I'm not Australian, like but I feel like we should still say thank you for your service because that's probably super scary.
Yeah, totally.
Thank you.
I know I'm not capable of doing something like that. I would cower.
I feel like
fear.
We have such a horrible like conception here in this country of like what is going on in the world, like when it comes to our own troops, but we at least have like this kind of like spirit of like, well, we have to support the troops, but I feel like very few Americans ever think about like how it really is a team effort. But we just kind of think of ourselves as like these lone cowboys. So yeah.
Like a global
really
effort.
Interesting to hear your perspective and your experience serving alongside, serving in the Australia Army and Navy, but also alongside many other countries' militaries as well.
Yeah, and every country is very different, but I guess at the end of the day, everyone has like a camaraderie of, you know, like we're all working towards the same thing. So, you know, everyone, there's a lot of mateship between countries, not just within, you know, our own military.
Do other countries shout at you all like Aussie, 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 oi, 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 and you just shake your head like, no, I'm not going to do that back?
I don't know. I think the Aussie way would be just to shout it back. So
awesome. That's what I like to hear. Well, that is a very spooky story. And I'm glad you brought up ships. I feel like I often forget that that's kind of an iconic haunted location. We hear it from time to time on the podcast, but it's usually that ship in California. I feel like we hear about the
Queen Mary or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've heard about the Queen Mary a couple of times, but it's rare that I feel like we've heard from somebody who was actually stationed on a large vessel that experienced ghost stories, or not ghost stories, but experienced a paranormal experience. So you had those experiences on the boat. I know you also had some experiences in a haunted home. Is that correct?
Yes. So that was actually the main story that I wanted to talk to you about. So back in 2011, I moved into a home with a couple of girlfriends of mine, and it was a bit of a share house. And it was probably the most terrifying year of living anywhere that I have and wish to ever experience.
Because of the hauntings?
Yeah, because of the hauntings.
Oh, wow. And that's after being on a haunted boat and stationed in Afghanistan. So that's high haunting praise, I feel like.
Yeah, I feel like it's a bit different because, I mean, the stuff that happened on the ship, like ultimately, you know, when you weren't at sea or you weren't whatever, you could go home. But when this is now happening in your home, like the place where you live, like you want to chill out, like you want to sleep at night, like when all of this kind of stuff is going on, it's just really hard to feel settled or relaxed or to actually even want to be there.
For sure. Well, we'd love to hear all about it.
Yeah. So I guess I'll set the scene. This house, always need to set the scene. So this house was a really large house. So I'm talking 5 bedrooms, 3 bathrooms, 2 separate living areas, 2 separate kitchen areas, and double story. So really large house, really old house. I've actually tried to do some research and I can't find the date that it was built, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say it was probably somewhere in the 70s, like the early 70s or 80s. So I moved into this house initially with 2 of my girlfriends, and I was actually the first one to arrive at the house on the day of moving in. So I thought, I'll get there, I'll get all my stuff there, I'll unpack, I'll settle in. And then when the girls start moving in, I can, you know, help them. We'll just make it really smooth and easy. So I roll up to the house, I picked up the keys, and I've pulled up in the driveway, and I've just looked up into the second story window, and I've just had this overwhelming feeling of like, this is wrong. like you should not be here, which is not really great considering that, you know, this is the first day and we're moving in. So I put that feeling to the side and I've gone in and, you know, I've done the preliminary walk around, chosen my room, and I've started to move my stuff in. Everything's going really well, you know, and suddenly it's nighttime. I'm still there. I'm still on my own. It's starting to get dark. And I guess as the darkness came, I just had again like this really overwhelming feeling of you don't want to be here while it's dark and you don't want to be here on your own. And I just couldn't shake the feeling. So I ended up walking across the road and I sat on the corner on a park bench and basically just waited for 3.5 hours until the next girl finished work and rolled in with her first carload of stuff. I didn't say anything to her.
I did want to ask you, because you keep mentioning like you had these feelings and sensations. Is that something that has happened to you throughout your entire life where you've had these kind of occurrences within yourself where you felt like, hey, this isn't safe, I shouldn't be here? Or, you know, like, have you gotten those kind of vibes your entire life?
At that time, I would have said no. But the more that I think about it now, I think that, yeah, I always have had, I guess, like a little bit of an intuition that I guess has kind of been there that I've listened to or haven't listened to, and it hasn't really gone well. But
that's the word I was trying to think, and instead I just stuttered and came up with vibes. So I appreciate you pulling out intuition.
Yeah. So basically the second girl came, I didn't want to mention anything to her. I think she just thought that I was a bit weird because I was sitting on the corner. And she came and we started unpacking stuff into the house. And I guess maybe having the second person there made things feel a bit better because I kind of tried to put it to the back of my mind and just kind of ignored it. So her and I lived there for probably the next 2 or 3 days on our own until the third girl moved in. And that is kind of when all the feelings came back and everything started to happen. So the third girl moved in. By that stage, the other two of us were already fully unpacked and settled. So we've helped her move her stuff and she's decided, so myself and the second girl, we've moved downstairs. The third girl has decided that she's going to take the complete upstairs on her own. So we've helped her move in. She's set up her room, everything like that. Everything's fun. Everyone's getting along. It's really happy. And then we decide to go to bed. So all that I remember is that I was asleep in my bed and then I woke up to the third girl creeping into my room, like jumping in my bed, and I looked at her and was like, what's going on? And she's turned my bedside lamp on and she said, I need to sleep with you tonight. I do not want to talk about it. We'll talk about it tomorrow when we're out of the house. And I just went, yeah, okay, no worries. Like, there's clearly something going on and we've gone to sleep. I woken up the next morning. I've said to her what went on last night. She said, I still don't want to talk about it. I'll tell you on the way to work. So we're driving to work and then she's just dropped this bombshell and said to me, so I was in bed last night. I felt something touch my feet and I've opened my eyes and there standing at the end of my bed is a tall, dark figure. And she said, I have just gotten up and just bolted. I've just bolted downstairs straight into your room and now we're here.
Do you know, had she ever seen shadow people before or was that the first time?
So this wasn't actually a shadow person. She was saying that it was a full apparition of what she believed was a man.
And she felt that man touch her feet too, right?
Yes. Yeah. She said she felt like he was kind of tweaking like her toes.
Oh, that's so creepy.
A ghost with a foot fetish. That's what
that is. That is a pervy ghost in your house.
Yeah. So anyway, she said, I didn't want to talk about it in the house. Just in case, like, it wasn't my imagination, like, I don't want to give it any, you know, kind of additional, you know, time that we're talking about it, because she was under the belief at the time that, you know, if you were to see something that was a bit supernatural and you were to talk about it, you were going to give it energy and therefore give it more power, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Just like Santa Claus.
Yeah, whereas I was a bit the opposite, which is kind of, I think, was our undoing. So, so for the next 3 months, this is no word of a lie, for the next 3 months, she slept in my bed every night with the lamp on, refused to sleep in her own bed because the second and third time that she'd tried, it was the same business. Like, she'd woken up in the middle of the night. This male figure was standing at the end of the bed, and she just had this, she reckoned she had this overwhelming feeling of just that he didn't want her to be there. So yeah, so we ended up sharing a bed for 3 months. And she just said that for some reason, whenever she was in my room and whenever she was sleeping with me, she just felt safe and like whatever it was couldn't come in my room. It couldn't, I guess, like broach my personal space.
Do you know if she ever suffered from night terrors?
No, she didn't. I don't believe she didn't. But I do believe that she said over the years she had experienced weird things in her room at different places that she's lived.
Oh, wow.
Especially when she slept in the dark, I guess, hence like the sleeping with me and sleeping with the lamp on.
Is this somebody you knew for a long time, or somebody you met there, or?
No, so she was my best friend at the time. Okay. And we had actually served on that same creepy ship. Oh, wow. As well. So we'd been friends for probably going on close to like 8 years.
And I guess she was someone who tended to believe in the supernatural then, if she had all these experiences, would you say?
Yeah, she did believe in it. And I know that her mum had a few experiences. Her mum is English, and I know that they'd had quite a few weird experiences growing up in the house that her and her siblings had lived in. So I don't think there was any sort of, you know, they felt like they had any sort of like special power or whatever, but I know that they had experienced the supernatural for themselves. So it was, I guess, like a bit of a generational thing.
Hmm. That's really creepy. And were you all able to vanquish this ghost, or did he just hang out with you all?
No, so the story goes on. So she's now sleeping with me every night, and I'm still having these weird feelings of, you know, not the fact that we're not meant to be in the house, and that there's something in this upstairs bedroom that was just not right. The bedroom that I said that I looked up to when I first got to the house. So so the three of us girls are living there, and I guess like once the third girl was kind of like in my bed, we were kind of having, like, myself and the second girl, we were having this bit of a joke. We were just like, oh, the house is haunted. Oh, there's something in the house. Oh, you know, like, he's obviously liking like the third girl. Maybe he's got a bit of a crush on her. And then we've made the mistake of naming him. So we were going, oh, you know, George, like, you know, you got a bit of a crush. Oh, George, like, you know, you shouldn't creep up on her like that. You should just be nice. Maybe you wouldn't scare her out of her room. And that's when everything just escalated. So
do you feel like there is something to naming a ghost? Because JJ and I have heard that over and over, like, don't name the ghost, don't name the ghost.
Yeah. Yeah. At the time, no. At the time, we thought we were being really cheeky and like a bit funny. But as I've, you know, listened to different people and even listened to your podcast, and the consensus seems to be don't name them.
Yeah, the ghost, it sounds like, did not appreciate the cheekiness at all.
No, he did not. And that's when he started to, I guess, play some tricks on us. So this is when the light flickering started to happen. You'd be sitting downstairs on the couch and you would hear upstairs like footsteps walking upstairs. You would hear what sounded like doors opening and closing and drawers being open and closed, even though all three of us would be downstairs together watching TV or like in the kitchen.
Now, JJ, I would have to believe that if you experienced that, would that be enough to tip the scale for you?
Oh, I mean, I would probably be at like an 8 or a 9.
Yeah.
Possibly. If I experienced that firsthand, yeah, that would freak me out.
What do you think George would do if, when he was messing with your feet, if you just were like, no, keep going? I feel like nobody ever does that to the ghost.
I feel like that's a great conflict strategy, is flipping the script, right?
Yeah, so I've never
heard of it being applied to ghosts. So
it's like, I don't think you'd really want to ask, just in case.
Next thing you know, your foot flies across the room. You're like, well,
yeah,
that went well. Yeah, that reminds me of, like, did y'all ever watch those awful scary movies? I think MTV used to produce them.
I mean, I've watched so many awful scary movies.
No, I think weren't they called about, like, Scary Movie 1, Scary Movie 2? It was like the Wayans Brothers. Oh,
yeah, the like parody movies.
Yeah, that's like something you would see in that, you know, where they try to egg the ghost on, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
Wow, well, that is super freaky, Sarah. So you had all this stuff going on that was rather like poltergeist like I guess, with things opening and closing and noises. Did you ever yourself feel attacked by the ghosts, or was it primarily towards the other girls?
So more to this story, like it continues to deepen. So for me, in my space, the bedroom that I'd picked just had this really nice feeling, and people would often come to the house and say, like, your house has got this really weird vibe to it. Like, it has a really, like, just almost like you're intruding on someone else's kind of space, until they would, you know, because you kind of have people over and you give them like the grand tour of the house. And then people would come to my bedroom and they would say, like, your bedroom just feels very light and very airy and very welcoming and just completely different to how the rest of the house feels. So I always felt really safe, really felt safe in my bedroom. The things that I kind of experienced would always be in the other areas of the house. So a big one for me personally was, I would always feel really uncomfortable using the bathroom, especially showering. I would always feel like whatever was in the house was like watching you and was just being really intrusive, like, of your personal space. And it became like a really common thing to say to him or it or whatever it was, like, I'm going in there, I'm having a shower, or I'm using the bathroom. This is not your space. It's not appropriate for you to be in here. Like, you need to give me privacy. Like, you just need to leave me alone. And that became like a really common thing for me to say every time I went to the bathroom, unless, you know, one of the girls was home, and they would often come and like sit on the toilet while you would have a shower, just so that you wouldn't have to be in there on your own.
So things really escalated for you all. I mean, it sounds like everybody there really bought into the idea that, yes, this house is haunted.
Yeah. And there was other things that went on. So, like, the girl that had the figure at the end of her bed, I remember one day we were in the kitchen and she was washing dishes in the sink, and I was standing probably about 2 meters behind her, just looking at her from behind, and I watched her whole body just tense up, just really tense, and almost like you could see the hairs on the back of her neck stand up, and she just went dead silent, and I was like, what's going on? Like, are you okay? And she just started to, I guess, like, whimper almost. And I kind of like approached her and I put my hand on her shoulder and I was like, what is going on? Like, are you okay? And then it's like, she's come out of it and she's turned to me and said, he was touching me. Whatever it was touching me. He was touching my shoulder. And it wasn't until you came and put your hand on me that he's kind of stopped, or he's kind of moved away.
Oh my gosh.
So I guess that's when things really started to, like, again, like, escalate in the house.
And she was awake the whole time that, like, she felt this presence touching her?
Yeah, she was just washing the dishes.
Oof.
And I was just standing there talking to her, like, you know, kind of as you do.
It sounds like this ghost was kind of afraid of you. Did you ever get that impression?
No, I think it was more like we kind of got the feeling that he was specifically preying on her, and that when we kind of came and I guess like intervened, that it was, he wasn't having his fun when, you know, I guess there was someone else there to kind of support her, if that makes sense.
Did you all ever reach out to like a medium or a priest to bless the home?
Yeah, so I'll get to that shortly. So I guess the next thing that happened was the second girl that was living there, she ended up moving out. So at the time, she just said that she was moving out because she wanted to, you know, she wanted to do something else, you know, whatever. But quite a time later, we found out that she ended up leaving because she was really uncomfortable and she didn't want to leave. She didn't want to live there anymore. But for myself and the third girl, we were kind of stuck there because it was our names on the lease. So we didn't really have a choice. So after she moved out, it was just the two of us. And I think that's when things really kind of like escalated. The third girl ended up getting a boyfriend. So she would often she started spending like a lot of time away from the house, a lot of time at his house, which I kind of understood because she was feeling really uncomfortable there. And, you know, I guess if you had a safer place to go, like, why wouldn't you want to go there?
Sure.
And in turn, it kind of left me there alone, like a lot of the time, but that girl also had a dog. So thankfully for me, like I had company, I would have the dog come and sleep on my bed all the time, which was really good. But when things really escalated, one time I thought that she was at home and I got woken up in the middle of the night. I got woken up, the dog got woken up, and all I could hear was like static, like really loud static, like from the TV. And I've kind of like gotten out of bed, I've gotten the dog up, I've kind of like thrown my door open, you kind of have a bit of a look. And then as I've kind of transited through the house, I've started like flicking lights on everywhere. Because you know, you don't want to be in the dark. No one ever wanted to be in the dark in that house. And as I've come up to the lounge room, I've seen that the TV is on and it was just playing like static, but up like really, really loud, really loud, like ridiculously loud. And all the lights were on that other end of the house and like on the way to go upstairs. And I just thought, oh, she's come home. Maybe she'd had a few drinks or, you know, whatever, and she's come home drunk and she's just like, you know, been a bit of a terror, turn the lights on, turn the TV on, and just like gone to her room and passed out. Because by this stage, she would actually sleep in that room, but only if her boyfriend would stay the night. Because for some reason, this male energy, like whatever he was in the house, would disappear whenever we had like male company stay in the house, which was another thing that was really weird. And so I've turn the TV off, but there was no way that I was going upstairs. I was like, I'm not going up there. That is not happening. And I've gone back to my room and gone to sleep. I've sent her a message as soon as I've gotten back to my bed going like, hey, mate, you know, do you think maybe you could be a bit more respectful of, you know, the fact that there's someone else in the house and that, you know, I'm trying to sleep and I've got work tomorrow and maybe not turn the, you know, the lights on and the TV on and, you know, all that kind of business. And she's responded to me literally like straight away and she's gone, I'm not in the house.
Oh gosh.
I've stayed the night at the boyfriend's house. What is going on?
And how do you know that's not just a cop out? Because she didn't want to own up to having the TV and the lights on.
Because I feel like, I feel like if she'd come home, like the dog probably would have wanted to like leave and go out there and find her.
Yeah.
And I mean, the next morning, like I've just thought, I'm not dealing with this. I've gone to sleep. The next morning I've gotten up and I've gone up there, gone to have a look. The lights are still on. Her bed's perfectly made. She's not home. So
do you worry that it was an intruder? I mean, that's like a pretty scary thing.
By that stage, we'd had enough kind of like footsteps and lights going on and off and all that kind of stuff that straight away I was just like, yeah, obviously it's
George,
old mate, like having a bit of a joke with me. Having a bit of a go. So there was that story. Another one that I experienced a while later was coming home from work, being the only person in the house, putting my house keys on the kitchen bench, going outside, doing whatever, seeing the dog, coming back inside about 10 minutes later and my keys have disappeared. Wow. So I've started looking for these keys everywhere. Housemates come home. She started helping me look for the keys. We cannot find these keys anywhere. I'm telling her, like, I put them on the bench. That's where I've left them. You know, there was no one else at home, only to find later on that night, still haven't found the keys, going to bed. And I pulled back the covers of my bed and there are my keys dead center in the middle of my bed, under the quilt, under the sheet.
And there's no way you could have put them there, right?
No, there's no way. Like, I came home and I put them on the kitchen bench in the exact same spot.
Are you someone who, like, pretty rarely loses things like their keys?
Yeah, I would probably say that, like, I am probably, like, I do suffer from anxiety a bit. So I do have, like, a bit of mild, like, OCD, especially with, you know, making sure that I have, like, keys and phone and, you know, where I put things. So, yeah, that it would be very rare for me to misplace something.
Well, on this podcast, we have somebody who is notorious for losing their keys. JJ, have you ever found your keys under your bed quilt?
Oh, yeah, but that's probably because I just threw them there. I mean, I am the worst. I'm, like, so the opposite of OCD. I'm probably ADHD, honestly, because I lose my keys and my phone and my wallet and my glasses, like, every day. So.
Yeah, I tend to just, like, throw things wherever they are. Like, my wife has had to train me over the years that things have a home, and if you keep them in their home, they'll always be there.
If I had a ghost that was, like, haunting me by moving my things around so I couldn't find it, like, it would just never work on me, because I'd always just assume, like, oh, my dumb ass, like, put my phone in the freezer again. So
I did one night, this is really, I mean, it's embarrassing to me, but, like, one night we had eaten, like, chicken or whatever, and instead of putting the leftovers in the refrigerator, I just straight up put them in the cabinet and went to bed. And the next day, my wife was like, well, I guess this isn't probably good to eat anymore. And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, the chicken's in the, like, cabinet. And I was like, yep, that's on me. I'll take that one.
I haven't done that exact thing, but I've definitely, like, done pretty much that exact thing.
However, peanut butter accidentally going in the fridge, a happy accident. Tastes really good. I recommend it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be too hard? Like, wouldn't putting it in the fridge make it too hard to eat?
That's what I would think.
Yeah, it's not too hard to eat. It is definitely harder. It just tastes more like a dessert, I guess, if that makes sense. But anyway, you Real Haunters, you can try it out and let us know at realhauntingspodcast@gmail.com.
That was another ghost haunting that went wrong. It's like, I'm going to get this guy. I'm going to put his peanut butter in the fridge.
I was just like, thank you. Okay, I have derailed this podcast. So, Sarah, you lost your keys, and then what happened next?
So we found them. We found them in the bed, and then, you know, I was kind of like, okay, things are starting to get a bit ridiculous now. Now he's clearly, or whatever it is clearly, like, came into my room. You know, we need to do something about this, because we are, like, terrified living in this house, and we have to live here basically until the 12-month lease is up. So, you know, I guess it's, like, time for action. So we, like, did a bit of a search in our area, and we found, I guess, one of those shops that sells crystals and stuff like that, that was advertising, you know, I guess, like, readings with a, like, someone that's, like, clairvoyant, medium, like, I'm not really sure. But at the time, we were just kind of desperate to have any sort of, like, resolution, or just something to make living there, like, less terrifying, or, you know, a bit more livable. So so we booked an appointment, and myself and this girl went to this appointment, and basically we sat down and we sat down with this woman, and we said, you know, we're here because we've had a few things going on that are a bit unexplainable and a bit terrifying. And, like, this is no word of a lie, she looked us, like, deadpan in the face and went, you need to stop calling him names. He doesn't like it.
Oh, dang. And you hadn't told him that you were calling him George, right?
No, all that we'd said is that we didn't even say like that it was a haunted house or anything. We just said that we were just having some unexplainable things going on that were terrifying and that we just needed like some guidance. And that was the response that we got.
And did you see a difference after that meeting with the medium?
So she said her recommendation was to go home and to basically try and apologize and just kind of say like, look, we both like the three of us clearly have to live here together. So, you know, we need some sort of resolution. Like, we're sorry for calling you names. We're sorry if that's upsetting you, but we kind of all need to live here together. So, you know, how about we'll stay downstairs and you can have the whole upstairs and we'll just leave you alone if you leave us alone. So that's pretty much what we did. And then for another like period of time, the house was still terrifying, still hearing all the footsteps upstairs and the doors like closing and the, you know, the drawers opening and closing. But by that stage, that girl had now moved downstairs with me. So we had basically given him like the whole run of the top half of the house, and things for a while were like, I guess, as pleasant as they could be. And she was able to start sleeping on her own, like in her room. And we'd have really minimal stuff happen downstairs. Like, I think once or twice after that, she was in her room and like a cupboard just swung open and closed. And we just, she just said to him, look, like, we've had the discussion. We both got to live here. I'm scared of you. Can you just go upstairs and like leave me alone? And then it would be fine for a period. But definitely all of the noises would just stay upstairs, and the dog would often sit at the bottom of the stairs and just kind of like stare up at the stairs and just like low growl or like hairs stand up on the back of her neck. So that's, yeah, where we kind of were like, okay, well, clearly this chat has gone okay and he's sticking to his area and we're just going to stick to our area and try to coexist.
Well, I'm guessing at the end of that lease, y'all got out of there.
Yeah. So just before we left, I got talking to this girl that I worked with. She was like an older woman, and I told her about all the things that had been going on like in our house, because by that stage, talking about it like outside of the house, it had become a bit of a joke. Like, you know, we're saying, oh, we live in this terrifying haunted house that we can't leave because we've got a lease. Like, it's really scary. Like, these are all the things that have happened. You know, and people would often want to come over and like have a look, and we'd be like, no, like we don't want visitors because we don't want to annoy him. Like, we're finally coexisting. And this woman said to me, she's like, I would love to come and have a look before you move out. She's like, I've always had a bit of a like an affinity with things that are like otherworldly or supernatural. And she's like, I have often seen things myself growing up, and I have seen you know, people that have passed and stuff like that. And she said, I don't want to come and like stir anything up, but I'd just like to come and basically sit there and just kind of like gauge a feel for the place. And I was like, yeah, well, you know, that can't hurt. Like, we're moving out in a month. So, you know, come over. And anyway,
I would have waited to like the last day.
The day of.
Like, yeah. Right.
Come help us pack and just see if you see any ghosts.
Well, we ended up choosing like a day for her to come over, and she's come over and she's basically called me on the phone, and I'm like, oh, do you need directions? And she's like, no, I'm out the front of your house. I'm sitting in the driveway. She's like, I'm just staring up at this window. She's like, there is definitely something in that room. And I guess I just had a moment of clarity where I was just like, yes. Like, this has not all been like,
right,
you know, in my head. Like, someone else has seen it, felt it.
The same way you did when you pulled up.
Yeah, yeah. So I've gone out to get her, and I've basically brought her inside the house, and she sat on the couch and she's just kind of like looking around like the room, and she's looked straight up at the stairs and she's gone, yeah, it's definitely him. It's definitely like an adult male. She's like, the top of the house is definitely his, she goes. And I get the feeling that he didn't like the fact that you guys were like, someone had tried to live up there and kind of like approach in his, like his space. And then we were sitting on the couch and we were still just like having a chat. And then she's like, he's come downstairs. Like she goes, I've got the feeling like he's standing right behind me. Like he's letting me know that he's here. She's like, and I also get the feeling that he is not, he's not friendly. Like he's not nice. She goes, and he definitely doesn't want you guys here. He's basically just been tolerating you. And she goes, I also get the feeling that he doesn't like dogs either. And that's why the dog has been behaving like the way that it has. She goes, I get the feeling that he might've been someone that may have like been known to kick dogs, when he was still, you know, I guess in the land of the living.
Wow. Yeah. Sounds like a real jerk.
Yeah. And it was just funny because we ended up moving out of the house a month later. And I just remember standing in the driveway and looking back up at the house, like after we'd locked the doors and we were leaving, and I just had this feeling of like absolute relief, just a feeling of like all the unsettledness was gone. And I just felt for the first time in 12 months that I was okay. And we drove straight over to the new place, which was like a small two-bedroom unit that I was going to be renting on my own. And I just remember walking into this house with my old housemate and just looking around, and the feeling inside this unit was just overwhelming of like peace and like quiet and like tranquility. And it was like, this is what a home is meant to feel like, not what you've experienced the last 12 months.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us. That's a really captivating haunted home ghost experience.
It's a lot.
Yeah. And to have so much validation too from like your roommates and the medium and your friend who came over and even your dog. I mean, it's pretty unusual for, you know, someone to have a story where like that many people also sensed it.
Yeah, it's quite a full-on story now that I think about it. And probably about a week ago, I went for a drive past the same house. And I remember like I was just looking at it and I was just thinking like this house still gives me like the heebie-jeebies even after like all this time. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the feeling was still there.
How bad did you want to ask the current residents, like, is George there?
Yeah. They probably would have thought I was nuts if I'd knocked on the door and gone, oh, hey, I lived here, like, you know, back in 2011. The place was terrifying, by the way, like, just in case, you know, you weren't aware.
I don't know. That's so scary. But yeah, thank you for sharing that. Well, we're coming up on our hour. Before we get you out of here, is there anything you wanted to promote? Any social media or projects you have going on?
No, just me living my best life. Yeah.
Well, is there an episode that has been your favorite so far?
I have two, actually. So the episode with Kelsey was one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. And also the episode with the haunted doll. Like, that was right up my alley.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Would you want a haunted doll?
Well, I've always been terrified of that kind of stuff, like absolutely terrified. Like the Conjuring movies absolutely terrified me. But for some reason, when I saw, like heard the episode with the haunted doll and then I started watching her videos on TikTok, I'm so intrigued. Like I would...
You and everybody else apparently, because she's got like 4 million followers now.
Yeah, like I think I would be up to like meet that doll, and I don't think that I would be scared for some reason. Like, I don't know. I think I don't know, the way that they are together and the interaction and the way that she portrays her, it doesn't have like this really terrifying feeling to it.
Yeah. It's kind of like a friendly ghost in her doll.
Yeah.
Her own little Casper. And with that, I'm Noah Daniels.
I'm JJ.
And I'm Sarah.
Ooh. Ozzy, Ozzy, Ozzy.
Oi, oi, oi.
Awesome. Right on cue.